The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Too often, we think of the body as a collection of parts that we can replace as they wear out. It's time to change our view of the body and start thinking of it as an integrated whole. Welcome to Rethinking Orthopedics with your host, Mary J. Rogel. Imagine what might become possible if we think together in a different way about our dynamic and adaptable bodies. Now, here is Mary J. Rogel.
Good evening and welcome to Voice America Radio. You're listening to Rethinking Orthopedics, and I'm your host, Mary Rogel. We're broadcasting today from Hyde Park on the south side of Chicago, overlooking beautiful Lake Michigan. And my guest today is Dr. Elaine Wagner. Dr. Wagner is a multifaceted chiropractic physician who is also licensed in acupuncture and certified in hypnosis, and has studied, practiced, and taught Qigong for many years. She's been in practice since 1980 and is the author of numerous articles in Oriental Medicine Journal and other publications. So welcome, Elaine. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you.
Now, Elaine, most people know something about the profession of chiropractic, but chiropractic, the licensing varies from state to state, and that makes things a little bit confusing. So I wonder if you could please start us off by explaining for our listeners just what chiropractic is, or another way of phrasing the question would be, what defines chiropractic as chiropractic?
Chiropractic is an art and a science devoted to adjusting the human frame in such a way that people will feel more comfortable, more healthy, more vital, their life quality will be improved, injuries and illnesses can be addressed sometimes on a very deep level just by working with the frame. And of course, there are other things that are considered to be part of chiropractic also, such as nutritional counseling and massage and rehabilitative exercises. And we can go on also.
Well, then, how does chiropractic differ from osteopathy, since you both work on the frame?
Osteopathic physicians for quite a few years now have been pretty much welcomed in and included totally and seamlessly into the fold of the allopaths, which is the medical doctors. And as a result, they're able to do all the things that the medical doctors can do, such as surgery and prescribing medications. And they also can do adjusting, spinal and cranial adjusting, although because they have gotten into the allopathic form of treatment, in some osteopathic schools, adjusting the human frame is now just an elective rather than something that they just have to do. While in chiropractic school, it's something that it's very central to the curriculum. And there are very few chiropractors, though there are some, but there are very few chiropractors out there who don't adjust the spine, at least, and very often the cranial bones, the sacrum, and the extremities also.
Okay, that's interesting. So then, am I correct in saying that the medical doctors and osteopaths are allopathic doctors, but chiropractic physicians are their own, it's their own category of medicine, different from allopathy?
Yeah, I would say that's true. And of course, osteopaths are slightly different from allopathy since they do use adjusting too sometimes. But yes, chiropractors are different. They can't prescribe drugs, and that's medications, and they can't do surgery, but they do many other things, including acupuncture for a lot of them, and massage, and of course adjusting the human frame, and therapeutic exercises, physiotherapeutic techniques, and go on from there.
Okay. So now in Illinois, chiropractors have what's called a limited physician's license. And I think you've, in a way, you've answered this question, but I want to make it a little more specific for our listeners about what a limited physician's license is.
Well, a chiropractor is considered a primary health care physician in the state of Illinois, and that means that they are qualified to do physical exams, say, for work or other situations like that. And they also, of course, can treat people for injuries, various type of ailments, especially when they're musculoskeletal. However, there are certain things that they can't do in Illinois. And there actually are so many things they can do. It's pretty impressive. But the things they can't do certain aspects of obstetrics, such as working with the delivery mm-hmm. of the baby. And they cannot do surgery. And they cannot prescribe any kind of medication whatsoever, though they can work with people suggesting or even selling them nutritional supplements and herbal supplements.
Okay, so chiropractors are physicians, and the limit on the physician's license is not being able to do surgery or medication, prescribe medications, but they can prescribe supplements.
And some aspects.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. All right. Now, you yourself have had quite extensive training, starting out with chiropractic school. If I understand correctly, most chiropractic classes are very similar to medical school.
Yeah. Chiropractic school was very demanding when I went to school, and even more so now. So we had all different classes like histology and embryology and pathology and microbiology and anatomy and physiology and, you know, radiology, and we can go on and on. And of course, we also had lots of training in nutrition and chiropractic adjusting and massage and nutrition. Oh, we already said that.
Yeah.
And a number of other things like that.
And so that's basically a four-year curriculum?
Yeah, it's at the school in which I went to, which was called National College of Chiropractic at the time, it was 10 trimesters, which could last as long as 5 years or as few as 3.5.
And then after chiropractic school, you had a complete training in acupuncture.
Yeah, during chiropractic school, I also had about a year of training in acupuncture, and then decided I needed more training. And about that time, the first acupuncture school in the area opened. It was about a year or so after I graduated from chiropractic school, so I did get training there also.
Okay. And there's something that I really admire about you. You've got a personal philosophy of learning something new and incorporating it into your practice every 2 to 4 years. And I think that would be interesting if you would expound on that a little bit. What kinds of things have added in?
I've added in all sorts of things. And the reason why I add them in is because of, well, otherwise I would get bored. And that is the truth. That is the main reason.
Keeping your brain active.
Yeah, and feeling challenged. I like a challenge. And these things come to me. I don't look for them. They come to me. So I've added, of course, acupuncture and more work with nutrition and hypnosis, qigong. And, of course, with qigong, it was meant more than every 2 to 4 years. That was about a 6-year stint.
And you're still doing
it. Yeah, I still am. And flower essences and rehabilitative exercises, starting my own blog, and now, unfortunately, I'm working on computers. That also has failed me.
And when you say that you're learning these things, you're not just taking a course here and there. Like, you became certified as a hypnotist.
Yeah, so whatever I'm doing, I devote several years to learning, studying on many different levels from many different people.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I feel I'm proficient enough, I'll start incorporating into my practice.
Now, out of the things that you mentioned, I think people have heard about most of these, but maybe not flower essences. So could you tell us a little bit about flower essences?
Well, flower essences are similar to homeopathy. And I don't know how many people know what homeopathy is, but it's using extremely dilute quantities of particles, which affect the body in a particular way. They push the body into a distortion. So, for instance, if a person has had, say, arsenic poisoning, and you want to help counter that, in addition to whatever you're using in the hospital, say, if you want to help counter it with homeopathy, you actually use something that mimics that. And the theory is then you push that into just, it's a microscopic amount more, just microscopic, so tiny. And the body then responds by almost what would be like an immune response. Hmm. And it helps balance the body. Well, flower essences are more gentle than that, but they still are as subtle and as dilute, or almost as dilute. But what they do is they help pull a person, whatever distortion they're in, say extreme fear, because often they work with subconscious or emotional type of issues. So if a person is extremely terrified, they will help move the person to an area where they're more calm. So the terror will be on one side, and the flower essences to balance it will be on the other.
Hmm.
Will help move a person toward the center.
Hmm.
And help them not just be more calm on a conscious level, but on a subconscious level. And also help their physical body. This also changes people's dream patterns. So I've had people who would wake up screaming from nightmares. They take flower essences, and they've been doing this for years, and suddenly they don't have any more nightmares.
Wow.
No more screaming. First night even. Yeah, so I mean this affects people on subconscious level too.
It's hard to imagine how something that subtle can have such a powerful effect.
It's amazing.
Hmm. Okay. And then with the Qigong, now you've been doing that a very long time, since before acupuncture school. But you studied it, but you practice it every day, and you also teach it. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. And Qigong is wonderful. It's a way to move energy in your body, and also you can also move energy outside your body if you choose. And this used for health, at least this is the way I use it and I teach it to my patients, help give them more energy, to help move their energy, helps make them feel better, helps get them clear of certain type of physical health issues, orthopedic issues, helps eliminate or at least reduce pain because the blood is circulating better because the qi, or the energy, is circulating better.
Okay, and I think that's a very good place for us to take a short break. When we return, we will continue our discussion with Dr. Elaine Wagner and talk about some of the techniques that chiropractors use. This is Rethinking Orthopedics. I'm your host, Mary Rogel, and we'll be right back.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjoe Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology. Strategy and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjo Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
The way we do banking today continues to evolve. No longer is it just brick and mortar locations or traditional bankers' hours. Today, banking is 24/7. It's in the home. It's on the go. It's digital. Tune in to Breaking Banks with Brett King for a look at how traditional banking as we know it has changed due to a loss of trust, changing economic conditions and consumer behavior, government involvement, and of course, technology. What does it all mean? Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
This is Rethinking Orthopedics with Mary J. Rogel. If you have a question or comment about today's show, please give us a call at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to rethinkingorthopedics@earthlink.net. Now, back to our show.
You're listening to Rethinking Orthopedics. I am your host, Mary Rogel, and with me today is Dr. Elaine Wagner, a chiropractic physician who's been in practice for 34 years. Now, Elaine, what I would like to do in this segment is to find out a little bit more about just what chiropractic encompasses, because we know about the spinal adjusting part, but it's more than spinal adjusting. Could you start us out with the kinds of chiropractic there are, because different chiropractors do different kinds of adjusting, and sometimes we as patients don't know what we're looking for and what we should think about when we're talking to a chiropractor and deciding whether or not to have treatment.
Well, some chiropractors only adjust the atlas, which is a top cervical vertebra, the vertebra at the top of the spine closest to the head. And some chiropractors only adjust the sacrum, which is right below the lowest vertebra in the spine. So it's around where you would say the tailbone is, in that area. And a lot of chiropractors, most of them, will adjust the rest of the spine in addition to those two areas, as well as the cranial bones, the occiput, and other bones. That's pretty common, typical with chiropractic, as well as adjusting, of course, the extremities, which means the arms and legs, hands and feet, shoulders, knees, hips, etc. So most chiropractors do all this wide range of adjusting, but some of them just do the atlas or the sacrum.
And this varies somewhat state by state, is that right?
Yeah, it does. And, of course, even more than state by state, it varies by depending on what school you went to and what they teach. But, yeah, as far as state goes, there's some chiropractors where they may have been trained to do all sorts of wonderful things and adjust the hands and the feet, but then if they go to practice in Michigan, for instance, all they're going to be allowed to do, all the license will allow them to do, is to adjust the spine. So it varies from state to state in that way.
Okay. So if people are going to see a chiropractor, they might want to ask a few questions about just what kind of chiropractic the chiropractor is doing with this wide range of possibilities. What about other methods that chiropractors use? Because there are many. Could you run down a couple of them for us?
Other adjusting methods or other therapies?
Well, I guess both.
Okay, well, some chiropractors use the activator, which is a wonderful instrument where you can adjust the force and the direction of the instrument to move the vertebra or the extremity, say a small bone in the wrist or the foot, in exactly the direction with the exact force that you want. So it can be used on small children. It can be used on people who are very, very strong and muscular, anything in between. I do a lot of adjustment with respiration. It's a very general adjustment, inhale and then exhale, of course. Applied kinesiology is what we learned in school, in chiropractic school, where you're working with all sorts of things. Neurovascular points, which is affecting the blood flow, neurolymphatic, of course, affecting the lymphatic flow. Working with, of course, adjusting the spine and the extremities and working with the cranial bones and much more, too. And then, of course, sacro-occipital technique, where this is considered, as well as craniosacral technique, they are considered to be osteopathic techniques, but sacro-occipital technique was taught in my chiropractic school. And, of course, it works not just for the sacrum, which is the bottom part of the spine, and the occiput, which is the lower part of the cranium, but also it works with all the spine in between. And, of course, chiropractors are use massage. They're taught massage. And there's a number of other techniques, such as orthobiony, which is a really subtle, sophisticated system of adjusting, and it's very effective and when it's appropriate.
On the applied kinesiology, I just wanted to ask because I think that it's not something that most people know what it is. Is that the one where the muscle testing is done?
Yes. So it's muscle. You use muscle testing in order to determine whether you have balanced whatever situation has been off balance. So let me give you an example. Oh, one of my patients, I can give you that example. That's a good example. Let's see. What was specifically the problem with her? She was having discomfort, yes. She was having weakness and discomfort in her hip. And so she was having weakness in her, I think it was the hip flexors. It's hard to remember exactly what was going on there. And it may have also been the glutes. I think the gluteal muscles, which are in the back, in the buttocks. So the gluteal muscles, maybe the gluteus medius. And so what we found with her is that when I did certain types of stretching, working with the muscle, that helped. And when I worked on certain points, pressure points on her cranial bones, that helped, or worked on massage certain neurolymphatic points, that helped. But what helped her the most in this case, because this is part of applied kinesiology, is I gave her a nutritional supplement that helped balance her endocrine system. And she put that underneath her tongue. I just happened to have that bottle that I could open. And what we found is that suddenly those muscles went strong, and she suddenly had no more pain. And when she came back the next week, and she is very athletic, she does a lot of work, and she pushes her body to the limit, she said that the improvement was 80 to 90%.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing.
Wow. Now, you've had a lot of experience treating patients, and clearly there are a lot of methods and a lot of knowledge at your disposal in to use when you're treating people. So when you're seeing someone for the first time, how do you approach the problem? How do you figure out what's going on and choose out of all these many things that you could be doing?
Well, I think the most important thing to do when you're seeing a patient for the first time is to do an extensive history. And that's kind of costly for me in terms of time. But I still am choosing to do it at this point in my profession. And so I spend a lot of time in history talking with the person, and I do a thorough thorough physical exam. And that, on the basis of those two things, as well as what the patient is open to, because the patient may come in and ask me for something, and I may think this is wrong for this patient. But you know what? If that's what the patient wants, I'm not going to fight with them. There may be a reason why they want that. And also sometimes they only want to come to me through insurance. There's only certain things are covered, so we may have to start with that. So it will vary depending on the situation. But often I can tell just by what the patient says, that there's a particular problem. A person could tell me, I know I don't have good posture, and I look at the guy, and I see that is the main problem with him. And so he has to correct his posture and do that all the time he's sitting and standing and walking, because otherwise whatever I do is going to be undone by what he does. Because the changes and the behaviors that you do, that people do in their everyday, ordinary lives for the other 23 hours a day when they're not getting treated, that's going to have more effect than what I do for the hour. Mm-hmm. I do spend an hour with people when I treat them. So it's very important. I always point out to people if they need to make postural changes or if they need to make breathing changes, because many people do chest breathing. It's very important for them instead, as much as they can, to do abdominal breathing. It doesn't mean that they don't breathe into their chest at all, but it should primarily be abdominal breathing. That will help them heal more quickly, help their muscles relax, help bring them more energy. It'll just be a lot of things. Also help release some of the emotional blocks that they might have.
You're looking for like a main contributing factor and then other things that are part of it, or you're looking more at this whole picture?
Of course, a whole picture, but then I also often find that there is a main contributing factor. Do you want me to give you an example? I can give you another example. One of the most dramatic examples I've ever seen in my practice was a woman came in to me, and she was seeing an acupuncturist who had helped her marginally, but she was still in a lot of pain. She had severe neck pain and headaches. She was clinically depressed and was on antidepressants. She had Crohn's disease. She had several surgeries for that. She also had fibromyalgia, which medication couldn't help her with, which is musculoskeletal pain, like maybe many, many places in the body. And so when we did, I saw, of course, her posture wasn't good and her breathing wasn't good. We talked about that. But then when we did a plumb line exam, which is where a line, we see a string that's down from the ground to a higher area attached to the wall, and the person stands in front of the string, or I look at their back and see where the string bisects their back. Mm-hmm. And in this case, what I saw was that she was so misaligned and so crooked. I'd never seen anything that bad in my entire practice. And sometimes I do take pictures of people with their cell phones to show them. In this case, I was almost in shock. It was that bad. And she just happened to mention, well, you know, it's probably because I have a short leg. See, this is somebody telling me what the problem is. Mm-hmm. Because when I was 14 years old, my pediatrician gave me this shoe that was with a lift. It was a half-inch lift. But I thought it looked bad, and, you know, I wanted to date all these guys. And I was so embarrassed that I just stopped wearing it when I was about 15 and a half, and that was it. And so I said, oh, boy. I said, look, what I want you to do, anatomically short leg, I want you to go to Walgreens and just find something that will go inside your shoe. You know, try with an eighth of an inch, quarter inch, half an inch, see what the minimum will make you feel better. So within a few visits, she no longer was depressed. She no longer had fibromyalgia. Her headaches were gone. Her neck pain was reduced by maybe 70 to 80%. Hmm. And so that was just from doing something like that.
Yeah, that's a very dramatic example. And it's always gratifying as a practitioner when you hear people telling you what their problem is, and then it can be addressed so easily. Now, we're going to take another short break from Rethinking Orthopedics. When we return, we'll continue our discussion with chiropractic Dr. Elaine Wagner, who practices on the far north side of Chicago and uses quite a wide range of techniques in her practice. We'll be right back.
What would you you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Cancer is not something to be taken lightly, but instead of being talked at by doctors, medical providers, and others, wouldn't it be nice to hear from a host who has worked at the cancer coalface for 38 years as a caregiver, supporter for 14,000 patients, and who has had the experience of having a life-threatening condition herself? You will hear the stories of survivors and other people who work in breakthrough cancer medicine. Navigating the Cancer Maze with host Grace Galler will help you with the facts, planning, and grief experienced with different forms and stages of cancer. Listen every Friday at 12 noon U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill. Kelly covers our relationship with food and teaches us how easy eating well and living well can be, taking us on a weekly food journey, guiding us to a more rich and vibrant life. So tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel for Eat Well to Live Well with Kelly Hill.
This is Rethinking Orthopedics with Mary J. Rogel. If you have a question or a comment about today's show, please give us a call at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to rethinkingorthopedics@earthlink.net. Now, back to our show.
And welcome back. You're listening to Rethinking Orthopedics. I'm your host, Mary Rogel. My guest today is Dr. Elaine Wagner, a chiropractic physician and acupuncturist who has published articles on many topics, including migraine headaches, strokes, qigong, flower essences, and safety while detoxifying. Now, we've been talking about chiropractic and the various kinds of approaches and treating people on many different levels. So, what I would like to do in this segment is talk a bit about musculoskeletal health, because you've got some good ideas about what is important for musculoskeletal health, and I think it would be useful for the audience to be able to have some of these ideas in mind. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, of course, posture and breathing are essential. Chiropractic adjusting can be real helpful, including massage, maybe tendon stretching exercises, rehabilitative exercises, sometimes ultrasound to help break up adhesions where there's been injuries, maybe electrostim to help stimulate the muscles. Also, of course, acupuncture is a wonderful combination with chiropractic adjusting. Acupuncture helps move the chi, direct the chi, relax muscles, a lot of other things too. I can go on. Nutrition is essential for most people. Some people have perfect diets already, but that's not common. And what most people are, they are inflamed. And when they are inflamed, what will happen is then they have musculoskeletal pain. They have discomfort. They have tightness. When a person is inflamed, one of the things that's going to happen, because of stress, because of poor diet, a lot of things, their system is overwhelmed, and their liver is not able to detoxify and handle all the things that are, or, and their kidneys aren't able to handle everything. And so what happens is then toxins start settling in the small muscles of the body. And the small muscles are the hands and the feet as well as around the eyes, so then the eyes may not be as good as they once were. And then especially, we're talking here, along the spine, and of course some of the other joints that are close to the spine. So that's what will tend to happen, and the person will tend to have back pain. Well, sometimes it's because they're misaligned. Sometimes it's because they need to detoxify because they are inflamed, and they need to change their diet. So that can be very, very important.
So does that mean that people who have fibromyalgia should start looking at an anti-inflammatory diet?
Oh, absolutely. That's very, very important. I've also found that acupuncture is amazingly helpful for people with fibromyalgia. But yes, nutrition is very important, as well as sufficient hydration, which means drinking enough water or whatever fluids the person's drinking. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that both acupuncture and diet are ways of bringing down inflammation.
Absolutely. Because also, when a person is deficient, when they are deficient in certain types of nutrients, they can be very ill, and they can have musculoskeletal problems. So if you remember the history of people who had scurvy, for instance.
Yes.
Just all sorts of things like that. Well, there still are minor variations of that, not as obvious, but there's certain types of things people are deficient, and they will tend to have symptoms, but it's not as obvious as that at this point.
And I guess in some ways the flip side of eating an anti-inflammatory diet, that would be adding things in.
Yes.
But the flip side of that would be taking things out.
Absolutely.
That are causing inflammation.
Absolutely. So you, for some people, they need to remove all GMO foods, all non-organically grown foods, unfortunately, for some people. Some people need to remove all grains, all legumes. So, unfortunately, some people need to remove dairy, sugar, some of these processed foods. And they need to sometimes just go to all whole foods. And there are certain types of herbs and foods that are especially anti-inflammatory, such as organically grown green leafy vegetables, and ginger root, and cinnamon. And of course, some people are sensitive to these things. This isn't right for everybody. Everybody is an individual. Turmeric and quite a few other types of supplements that can be very helpful.
And so you work with your patients to figure out what it is they should put in and take out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you do a lot with exercise as well.
I do. I believe exercise is essential, and sometimes it's just a wonderful chiropractic treatment and a wonderful acupuncture treatment, etc. But if we don't do the exercise, if they don't do it afterwards and do it during the week, there's not going to be that much results. So I'm very, very convinced, just based on what I've seen and what I've experienced in my own life also, that exercises such as stretching and strengthening exercises, and Qigong and yoga, Tai Chi, these exercises are very, very important in maintaining musculoskeletal health and balance, as well as health in general and vitality in general.
Now, would you include the kind of exercising that people do in gyms as part of what you would recommend?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it doesn't mean that every situation, what they do is appropriate. But, for instance, I remember there was one patient I had treated her, and she was much better. She had been hit by an automobile accident, hit at Roosevelt. She was thrown about 10 feet in the air.
Wow.
And then landed across the hood of a car, and then she was knocked unconscious and was told she'd never be able to walk again. So by the time she got to see me, she was out of her wheelchair and she was walking again. And she got to the point where she was feeling much better, and she absolutely thought I was the greatest, okay? But then she finally decided to go to a personal trainer. And this is just in the gym. And so the personal trainer worked with her maybe a couple times a week, and she got to the point where she didn't need to have treatments anymore. Because, she got so sound, musculoskeletal, so strong, so balanced because of the personal training. And that was it. That was the last thing that she needed to do for her healing and her repair.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that often too.
Yeah.
By putting the, like in your case, the chiropractic adjustments and the acupuncture together with the training makes a huge difference. Now, what about immune problems, medications? Would you also look at that when you're talking to people about musculoskeletal health?
Absolutely. Now, unfortunately, chiropractors are not allowed in the state of Illinois or any state to tell people to stop taking medication. So they need to suggest that they go to their medical doctor and maybe talk with them about that. But yes, there are medications that are going to be harmful for the body that can injure the muscles. For instance, some statins, some antidepressants, or other mood-altering drugs, and even some anti-inflammatory medications will interfere with that type of thing. And a person may tend to have immune dysfunction when they're overly toxic and their body no longer can handle the toxic load and starts becoming confused and will start attacking certain parts of itself as part of what is toxic. It can't, because the body's so toxic to begin with, it does not know where does the toxin end and where is the good material, the good tissue. And so one of the very, very common things that happens when people, when they become develop immune problems, one of the first things, and maybe a constellation of things, could very often is thyroid problems.
Really?
So many thyroid problems are actually autoimmune problems, much more than we think about, much more than we realize.
I've seen that in my practice, too.
Yeah.
You said something interesting that I'd like to follow up on, which is that some of the anti-inflammatory medications actually contribute to pain.
They can, yes.
That sounds kind of counterintuitive.
I wasn't aware that I actually said that.
Maybe I misheard.
Yeah, I think maybe you did. But what they do is the anti-inflammatory medications generally deflame the body, and therefore they would reduce the pain.
Right.
However, they can contribute to immune problems,
see.
And they can interfere with treatment. If a person is on a high dose of anti-inflammatory medication, then sometimes I find that acupuncture is not going to be as effective because acupuncture works with inflammation.
Yes.
And if you don't no longer have an inflammation is not all bad. In fact, it's good. In fact, we would not be able to live if we didn't have inflammation in our body. So it's not that inflammation is the cause of all disease or inflammation is a problem per se. It's just how much.
Okay.
And so if we suppress it completely, sometimes that's good for a short period of time, but not for a long period of time. It interferes with acupuncture treatment. And also, if you give a person anti-inflammatory drugs or medication for a long period of time, that will start basically, I would say, killing the adrenal glands.
Oh, wow.
And the kidneys. After a while, the body is not functioning like it could because they're giving medications that are not allowing it to or just making it so it doesn't need to. And so after a while, that can destroy a person's health. We're not talking about over a few weeks or even a few months. We're talking about year after year after year after year after year.
Wow. That's really sobering. Now, what it sounds like to me is that chiropractors have such a really broad approach to musculoskeletal problems that we ought to be thinking about going to chiropractors more frequently when something goes wrong as opposed to going to the doctor first.
I think that's true. Generally, I would suggest that a person use a chiropractor as the first person to consult. And if it's something that's out of their league, or if the chiropractor doesn't do acupuncture, they think maybe they would need to refer them to an acupuncturist. Maybe they would need to refer them to a therapist. Maybe they need to refer them to an allopath. So it would depend. Often a chiropractor can handle what is going to be presenting to them, at least in part they can handle it and perhaps completely. If they can handle it, then this means the person will be able to avoid medications or surgery that might not be appropriate and might actually be harmful for the person.
Mm-hmm.
I also have treated people who, they also went to a medical doctor while they were seeing me. And I'm really glad they did. And I'm really glad they got the anti-inflammatories for a few weeks, because it would have taken them much longer for me to help them mm-hmm. if they hadn't done that. So, you know, every situation is different.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and interesting, we keep coming back to this theme in over the various radio shows of working together, because each profession brings something important. This is time now for a short break. When we return to Rethinking Orthopedics with my guest, Dr. Elaine Wagner, we're going to talk about the patient's role in maintaining our own good health. We'll be right back.
How is your health? Do you want to know more about it? Every day there are new technologies, procedures, and healing techniques coming forward. To understand them, tune in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. Our guests come from different backgrounds in the fields of health and healing. We'll discuss new realities and modalities, from chiropractic to metagenics. It's all designed to improve your quality of life. Speaking of Health is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Make the most of your beautiful life. Listen to Ageless Living with Dr. Tong Li and co-host Kurt Wilhelm to gain tips on how to live healthier and happier, alleviate suffering, prevent disease, become more beautiful in body, mind, and fashion, and find peace, balance, and success in your life. Are you aware that every 3,500 calories that you eat above what you burn will put a pound of fat on your body? And running 1 mile only burns 200 calories? So portion size does matter, and migraines do have a cure. What is it? You'll have to tune in Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness. This is Rethinking Orthopedics with Mary J. Rogel. If you have a question or comment about today's show, please give us a call at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to rethinkingorthopedics@earthlink.net. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back for our final segment today of Rethinking Orthopedics. I'm your host, Mary Rogel, and my guest today is Dr. Elaine Wagner, who, besides being a chiropractic physician, is also a photographer and plays the hammered dulcimer. I mention your photography and music, Elaine, because I think it's important for us to have many interests and to incorporate things into our lives that nourish the spirit and challenge the mind, as well as feed and repair the body. And I know this is one of the things that you encourage your patients to do. And so I wonder if you could talk a little bit about some of your philosophy on that and what kinds of things you encourage people to do to take care of themselves.
Oh, so many things. I put a lot on people as far as their own healing goes, and sometimes people even find it overwhelming, unfortunately. I urge them to eat properly. Now, I urge them to exercise regularly, to get enough sleep, you know, to perhaps minimize toxic relationships that they have in their life, to clean up the mold in their home, or maybe hire somebody else to do it. There's to set a regular type of systematic type of what I'm trying to say here, lifestyle, so that they work for a certain amount of time, and then they also have time to play and to do things that are meaningful for them on other levels. Though some people are fortunate enough to find fulfillment on many different levels just through their work. But also it's important to have fulfillment as far as their relationships go, as far as their hobbies go, as far as self-expression goes. There's so many different things.
So in a way, this is another aspect of what we were talking about earlier in the show about taking a many-leveled approach
yes,
to health.
That's right. And sometimes people need to make major life changes, unfortunately, like change their jobs. I've seen that when people were working with toxic chemicals, and there's no way that this woman was going to not have any rashes on her body or not have joint pain until she got out of this place where she was exposed to extreme toxic chemicals and breathing them in and having them touch her body all day. And she did not want to change the job until she did. You know, this, or a person may need to, unfortunately, leave a relationship or else end up resolve within themselves that, okay, I'm just not going to let this bother me anymore, mm-hmm. even though this person does whatever they do. So they may need to resolve certain internal conflicts and maybe embrace some more self-discipline, letting go of certain expectations of people, etc.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned also that you have a strong belief in self-help and self-healing, but sometimes people need a little bit of assistance figuring out how to do that.
Oh, they do. That's true.
And that's where you come in.
Sometimes, right?
Sometimes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. As far as giving people particular exercises that will be helpful. Sometimes they don't know what they need to do as far as exercise. They have not the slightest idea. Sometimes they don't have much idea about dietary changes. I mean, they can go to my blog and read about some of those things, but also I can talk with them about it. Sometimes they don't realize that they shouldn't be having such erratic sleep patterns. There was one person I think of who was having musculoskeletal problems. So it's a particular type of problem. She would come to me, and every time she'd come to me, she also had an issue in her life that was going unsolved. And it was resentment or maybe assuming too much responsibility in a situation or whatever it would be. And she, of course, she pushed herself to the limits. So she did not have any energy to spare for unhealthy emotions or stuck emotions. Many of us do have lots of energy to spare, and therefore we won't have a lot of pain and discomfort and problems if we end up being resentful or whatever, but this woman could not spare that. And so when she would resolve that, her musculoskeletal problems would go away.
Wow, that's pretty powerful. In a way, it reminds me of what you were talking about before about the flower essences, that a small nudge in a particular direction makes a big difference.
It can, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking also about stress management and mental health. Really, in a way, that's what we're talking about here.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So the other aspect of the body, mind, spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything more that you'd like to tell us about flower essences?
Oh, flower essences are so amazing. I could talk about them for days. Oh, my God.
Because it seems like it's related to this idea of change, and it's something that patients can do themselves.
Yes, they can, although they probably can't choose them themselves in a way that's optimal. I have 6 different sets of flower essences in my office, so I have thousands of flower essences to choose from.
Okay.
And often, but not always, I use muscle testing. I've used muscle testing so long. I know all ways to get through or past people's blocks, and this is not your typical muscle testing, what I do. So generally, I can choose what is most appropriate for a person with muscle testing. If not, I'll choose it in another way. This is an interesting case, if you want me to talk about this, if we have time.
Just a short,
okay, this
short.
Woman came to me, she had a couple of herniated discs in her low back, she had a lot of low back pain. She was by profession an actress, and I tried everything, chiropractic, acupuncture, nutrition, nothing helped. And so finally we tried flower essences, and of course other people had tried. Someone had referred it to me because she couldn't help her, some medical doctor, so she had been going around, somebody could help her. So what happened is she tested for a flower essence that addressed the personality of the character that she was playing, not her own personality issues at all. So we had her take that, And she was only supposed to take it just 1 week past when the part ended. And so what she said is when she stopped taking that, when she entered the part, this was the first time in her career that she felt like she no longer had any residue from that person. And thank God, because it was a terrible role. I mean, it was really a dysfunctional role. And she didn't have back pain anymore either. And once in a long, long while, she would come back for something with very mild back pain, but nothing like it was before. So it might be 2 years before I would see her again. And then it was just very mild. So that's what happened, just when she learned to lift that off. I think the other times when she came, we also used flower essences to lift something else off.
It's a good example of self-help. Okay. I want to thank Dr. Elaine Wagner for being my guest tonight on Rethinking Orthopedics. You can read Dr. Wagner's monthly blog at www.ewagnerholistichealth.com. Let me spell that for you, www.ewagnerholistichealth.com. You can also reach her by email at, I'm going to spell this too, mtngrybr11@sbcglobal.net. Let me spell that again, mtngrybr11@sbcglobal.net. I'd also like to thank the staff at Voice America for making this show possible, especially my engineer, Michael Sergette. This has been Rethinking Orthopedics. I'm your host, Mary Rogel. You may listen to this show again at any time on the Voice America website, as well as on my website, www.eastpointassociates.com. Tune in again next week. Good evening.
Thank you again for tuning in this week. Mary Rogel will be back with another edition of Rethinking Orthopedics next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Until then, may you focus on great health.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.